If you have your Bibles, please turn or tap to Ephesians chapter 4. This has been our core passage over the last 8 weeks of this series, so naturally, we're going to keep using it. Pastor Kurt and his family are enjoying some much-needed, much-deserved downtime this weekend in Mexico, I believe. Brushing up on their Spanish, right? Eating lots of tacos, literally the perfect food. Anybody with me? Anybody taco fan in here? I mean, you get your grains, you get your vegetables, you get your protein, calcium. I mean, it's the perfect food, right? So the last several weeks, we've been going through this series called The Wall. And the concept behind that is that as Christians, maturing in our spiritual journey, sometimes we come up to these walls or blockades, like roadblocks, that we get stuck at. Okay? And if we don't do something, they could be emotional deficiencies, it could be social issues that pop up, whatever the case is, there are things that we come to and we get stuck. And if we're not do the work to get through that wall, then we're going to stay stuck where we are. And if you stay stuck long enough, eventually, I think your faith is going to become so boring, you'll begin to question, doubt, deconstruct, whatever. And so today is about getting through the wall. Now, you've noticed as part of our series graphic, probably, we have a wall. Looks like it belongs to part of a castle. Has anyone in here ever been to a castle? Yeah. I love castles. A few of us took a trip a few years ago, right before the pandemic, to the UK. And my favorite stop along the way was in Edinburgh, Scotland. Okay, I know there's several of you have been in here. We got a picture of the castle. Check this out. Yeah, when you step off the train and you see this giant castle up on top of a huge rock. Look how it dwarfs the high-rise building over to the left. When you look at these things, like, okay, I can see how these walls would be impenetrable, right? These were made to keep people out. But what do you see right down in the front? A door would be the answer. Yes, thank you. Here's a picture of us, our crew, in front of the door, just to prove we were actually there. I know there's always someone who asked if I would show photos of my kids, and so here's a picture of Levi wearing a little soccer uniform that Michelle bought a few hundred feet from this door. But back to the door. This door is riveted solid oak. Like, this is a chonky chonk door. You are not going to break through it. You are not going to get through it unless either you know someone on the inside or this particular door, maybe it was retrofit later, but happens to have a keyhole. So maybe you just need a key. And what I wonder is sometimes when we look at these different walls over the last 8 weeks that we've come up, sometimes it may seem like, I don't even know where to start. How do I break through this wall? And sometimes it's not a huge life change. Sometimes it's one little change that could unlock the potential in your life to make it through. So you've got 8 keys on your rings already, and keys to different doors in different walls, because we all run into different things, right? But maybe today, key number 9 will be something that helps you. In case you're wondering why I'm so obsessed with keys, today also marks 20 years for me in full-time ministry. Hey. Thank you. Before that, I worked as a locksmith. Now you're like, this guy is weird. Okay. So now, if we turn to our key passage. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people who in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Jesus Christ. Did you know You don't have to teach small children how to be selfish, right? This is a current reality at our home. In fact, you have to teach them how to share. And one of the developmental milestones or signs that your child is beginning to mature is when they begin to put others' needs ahead of their own. Now, unfortunately, today we have a lot of chronological adults that have not reached emotional adulthood. You know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all just got pictures in your head of who these people are. I remember a few years ago, Allie was over in my office just kind of frustrated at the dating scene. And I get it. Okay, speaking from personal experience, like trying to navigate the dating scene while in full-time ministry is probably harder than anything you had to do this week, okay? Like, it is a pain. It is the worst. And I've been happily married for over 4 years. But I remember her sitting in my office and she's just like, where are all the men? She's like, I've been set up with, I've met a lot of 20-something, 30-something, 40-something year old boys, but where are all the men? Apparently they were in Montana. Shout out to Allie and Ben. All right, her man. But there's a lot of full-grown infants in our world, people whose entire universe revolves around themselves, what they want, what they think they need, where they spend their time, their money, their energy, how they treat or mistreat or objectify other people. We got a lot of what I would call big old babies. Anyone want to say that with me? Big old baby. That's right. Let me hear you say, it's time to grow up. Oh, starting to get lost already. All right. So, time to grow up. This is how we do it. This is how we do it. This passage has the prescription, okay? Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. Why? So the body of Christ may be built up. And then verse 14 says, then we will no longer be infants. When will we no longer be infants? What is that sign of developmental maturity? When we are functionally serving the body. I once heard a pastor say that the day he became a pastor was the day that he left the ministry, because before that, he had been a minister. He had been part of the royal priesthood of every believer, right? Getting to minister to people, serving people on the ground level, but now his role changed to equipper, equipping the saints for acts of service. Allie shared a definition of sanctification with us a few weeks ago that I loved. I mean, most of us have heard this first part, that sanctified means to be set apart, to be made holy, as we just sang about with God, right? But there's a literal sense as well in which it means to be in its proper functioning, to be doing what it was designed to do. So a pen is sanctified when it's writing. A car is not if it's just sitting in your driveway collecting dust, but when it's transporting you from one location to another, it is sanctified. It's because it's doing what it's designed and purpose to do. It's functioning properly. So the question to us, conjunction, junction, what's your function? Some of you will get that on the Sesame Street rerun in 30 years, I guess. I don't know. So back to the body. One of the main metaphors that Paul uses for the church is the body. And now some of you are getting stressed out because the buzzer hasn't even gone off yet, but you know how this works, okay? We got the body. Yes, I bestowed upon him a loincloth, because although every part of the body has an important function, we don't need to be observing them all in church, okay? And you know how this game works. You hit the wrong spot, the wishbone. I don't even know where the wishbone is. The water on the knee, like the nose lights up and something isn't working. But when we're talking about the body of Christ, Jesus is the head. This body may take a face plant. Hold on, okay? Jesus is the head, and the rest of us are the different parts of the body. Returning to our passage once again, beginning in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ, and from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So Jesus is the head. Who's the spleen? I don't even know what a spleen does, to be honest. Which Francis Chan actually once said, he was talking about the body of Christ. He says, have you ever looked in your church and just kind of wondered, like, what part of the body is that person? Right? It's like, are they like an appendix or something? No one really knows what they do other than they could explode at any moment and kill us all, right? Fortunately for us, the Apostle Paul expands a little bit on this metaphor in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. He says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body either. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. And every part of the body has a function, a purpose. And some parts may have multiple functions, like a hand can do a lot of different things, and some may be more specific. Here at Renovation over the years, when we talk about who is part of us here, we tend to use the word teammate rather than member, because to us, the word teammate kind of implies that you got skin in the game if you're part of us, right? You're actually helping out, pulling the load, whereas membership may imply that you have perks or rewards or benefits or privileges, right? I have a membership at the club and it provides privileges. But when you break down the root word of where it came from as far as a member of the body, it's the same as saying a part of the body. And if there's a member that does not have a function, and you gotta wonder, are you really part of the body? Are you just like a sunburn that shows up on special occasions? Wow, that was a slow rollout. Okay. There's a brilliant movie that came out in 1947 called It Happened on Fifth Avenue. Has anyone in here ever seen that? I know some of my family. Yeah. I knew that Michelle was the girl for me when I asked her what her favorite Christmas movie was, and it was the same as mine, and it was this one, okay? That, I just gotta say, back to dating, if you list Elf, that's an automatic, no, just kidding. You can like Elf if you like. But in this movie, the premise is that two homeless men move into a mansion while the owners are vacationing in the South. And one squatter in one scene asked the elder if he'd ever worked a day in his life, and he, Aloysius T. McKeever, replied, well, I believe that people who require money should work for it. As for myself, I gave up working years ago. I never could make enough to satisfy my lavish tastes. So I let other people work for it, and I enjoy it. This movie is genius. But the funny thing is, pun intended, this is often how some people treat the church. I'll let someone else work for it, and I'll enjoy it. For example, it's been a year since we've had the coffee and treats out front before service. And part of me is kind of sad about that because it was such a great connecting point, right? You can feel the energy and the conversations as you're coming onto campus, and it was a great place of community. But even though we've had people ask about it since, we haven't had anyone yet step up to own it. And I get it. It's a lot to chew off. There's not only is it purchasing supplies, keeping inventory of things, but it's committing to being here, either being here every single week or make sure that you got someone scheduled that's going to be there every single week to pull this off, the setup, the teardown, the cleanup, and so on. And it's just easier to let someone else work for it, right? So we can enjoy it. Are we having fun? Okay. This time we spend together on Sunday mornings is called a church service, right? Or a worship service. And the word serve is literally in the title. And yet, as we've said, I wonder sometimes how many of us come where our first thought is, what am I bringing today? Who am I going to serve today? Versus, I wonder if there's going to be decent music, or I wonder if the sermon's going to be any good. I wonder if it's going to be too cold in there. Do I need to bring a parka? Whatever a parka is, I feel like my grandmother had many of them. And to be honest, some of y'all have a hard time rolling in here at the crack of 10:30 a.m. Now, I don't know what time your work normally starts or what time school. It must be much later in the day than that. There are some Sundays, honestly, where there's more people on the stage than not when service begins. And that's kind of a bummer, too, because the service is crafted in a way to bring us all on a journey together. It tells a story. And if you come in, 10, 15 minutes in, then it's kind of like the people that walk into the movie theater halfway through the movie, and they're kind of like, oh, right, so what's going on here? I don't really get it, It's like, well, yeah, because you missed the whole setup for it. I know there's sometimes legitimate excuses, right? Road closures, construction. I know how hard it can be to get toddlers out the door. A few weeks ago, it took Michelle 22 minutes to get Levi in his car seat, okay? I know there are legitimate, Jules, you guys got things to look forward to. You will have much grace extended in these first years to come. But don't go blaming the Starbucks line for being too long, okay? Like, we need you. We need you here. The body functions best when it's together and functioning together. Okay, so now that we're here, how are we here? When you arrive on campus, as I alluded to, what is the posture of your heart? Is it postured toward serving others? I was part of a church service in Lodwar, I think, Northern Kenya. Under this grass roof, and I was blown away to see even the way they did their offering. There was a song and there was dancing going on, and people would bring what they had. Usually it wasn't money, but it was a tenth of whatever they had. One lady brought two brooms because brooms were her money-making business. Those were her offering for the church to redistribute. One lady brought a chicken, a tenth of her fruits from that week, and it just blew me away. They came ready to serve, to give. And I feel like sometimes we walk in and we say, oh, there's trash on the ground over there. Oh, the countertop needs to be wiped down. And we assume that maybe is someone else's job. I've also noticed, are you feeling encouraged yet? No. I said, Kurt, you're going to want to leave the country for this one. So he did. I've noticed an interesting trend here at renovation over the last few years. See, pre-pandemic, I feel like people appeared, at least to me, to be more visually engaged in worship. And when I say engaged, I'm referring to outward expressions of inward realities, things like singing, hand raising, body posture, prayer around the altars, that kind of thing. There was kind of a flow. But also, before the pandemic, we didn't have a live stream here. We didn't even have internet in this building, okay? That happened the Monday morning after everything shut down. But I'm wondering, and my fear is that quarantine retrained us. See, when we had no live stream, the only worship experience that we had was here in this room, rubbing shoulders with people. And there's something different when you can hear the voices of other people singing. It's encapsulating, right? It's engaging. And when we watch on a live stream, it's just different when you're hearing out of your little phone speaker, you know, or your laptop, or even your TV. Some of you might have really good surround sound systems. I don't know. But I wonder if for some of us, the engagement level, like in singing specifically, maybe tapered off a little bit. Like, oh, we got the live stream on, but I'm still getting my breakfast ready, or got to load the dishwasher real quick, you know. It's kind of running in the background, and I wonder if it's retrained us how to engage together. And I wonder if it's partially my fault, because when we look at this core text, part of my role should be equipping you for acts of service, including the service of singing, okay? You well know this is not a concert, this is not a performance, this is not a show, the band being up here on Sunday mornings. This is us leading, kind of standing on the front line of the choir, if you will, right? But this is a service, not only from us to God, but also to each other, because it builds up the body as we sing. And I don't see in Scripture where singing when we gather is like a thing you get to opt out of either. You know, I mean, maybe it's in there and I just haven't found it yet. You can send it to me later. But, you know, when you go to like a sporting event, you can choose whether to cheer for your team or not. You don't have to. You're not required to. You can choose whether to applaud for them or not. You're not required to. You can choose whether to boo for the other team, right? You're not required to unless you're a Raiders fan, but you all got issues. But in Scripture, I see it's not optional. I see it's for every believer, every time we gather. Singing is not a setup for the sermon. It's not a precursor of the main point. It is part of our service to God and each other. Let's look at a few examples. Hebrews 2:12. I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. Praise the Lord, Psalm 149:1. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Ephesians 5 tells us to follow God's example. Verse 19, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Even the Last Supper. Have you ever caught this part at the end of the Last Supper? You know, after they're hanging out, they're eating the last meal, Jesus leads them through communion, they get up and go to Mount of Olives. Oh, not yet. While they're still full and digesting everything, what do they do together? Matthew 26, verse 30 says, when they had sung a hymn, then they left. They're like, we're a group of believers. We're together. Obviously, we can't just get up and go our separate ways without first singing together. Interesting. It goes on, and Zephaniah even tells us that God sings over us, which makes perfect sense. Because if we are created in the image of him, that we are created to reflect that image. Amen? So, why do we sing when we gather? Well, one, because the Bible tells us to. Two, it builds up the body of Christ, as we just read in Ephesians 4. And three, it unifies us. Who is up for a little experiment? Okay, some of you instantly started sweating, and some of you are like, okay, let's bring it on. I'm going to ask everybody to harness whatever courage you can muster, and if you're able, would you stand with me for a moment, including those online. If you're sitting on your couch, please stand up. We're going to put up the lyrics to the song Doxology. And I'm going to ask, if you have a terrible voice, sing along, okay? The Bible says make a joyful noise. It means literally make a loud noise. It doesn't say it has to be a good noise, okay? We're just going for volume here, and we're going to, best you can, let's sing this together, okay? Ready? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Louder. Praise him up, creatures here below. I think you got more in you. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Let it out. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You just built up the body. You see that? Every part working together with a function. I don't even know what page I am on, but could you imagine if we sang every song that loud? We wouldn't need a sound system anymore, no offense, Gary, unless we needed a louder one to keep up with the voices, right? But the body needs you. We need you to show up, we need you to sing, and we need you to pitch in. It takes a lot of functional members to build a functional body. And if you don't know what your function or purpose might be, we can help you figure that out. Well, I'm just too busy to serve in this season. I don't know. Usually I see busy people are getting things done. They figure it out, right? That's the old marketplace rule. If you want to get something done, you find someone who's busy and ask them to do it, right? We got some volunteers here. I'm not going to name names this morning. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but we have some volunteers here that, in addition to their busy lives, travel for work, etc., they lead multiple ministries, regularly serving kids, are here for you every Sunday before service, walking around the worship center, praying for you, prayer walking the campus and neighborhood during the week, and so much more. We have volunteers that come straight from work after long night shifts to serve you in the tech booth and on the stage. We had even a few months ago, one was in a car accident on the way to church, so they hailed an Uber to get them the rest of the way here. We have volunteer that nannies full-time, parents full-time, serves in kids on Wednesdays, Sundays, and other days, and empties trash cans after church without being asked because she just saw a need and jumped in. And we have some amazing, faithful, and anointed volunteers. And we need some more. And not for what you can do to us or for us, but to build up the body. Every member matters, every part. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers. You ever feel that? You ever broken or stubbed a toe? And somehow it affects your entire body, right? When someone's not pulling their weight, it affects everyone. If we applied the tithing principle to our time as we do our treasure, figuring there are 168 hours in a week, the bare minimum that we should be considering serving would be 16.8 hours a week, right? That seems the getting in point. For some of us, it's like, whoa, where am I going to watch my TV time, you know? Some of you spend 16.8 hours a day on TikTok, but that's another conversation. And when we were getting started here at Renovation, I came over full-time volunteer, sometimes 80 to 100 hours a week. So I'm not asking anything that I wouldn't ask of myself, okay? Seriously, though, every member has a function and at every age. See, there's a big difference between multi-generational and intergenerational. When we look at multi-generational churches, typically the older generations are looking to pass the baton of ministry to younger generations. But in intergenerational churches like Renovation, yes, we need mentoring and investing in future generations, but if you ain't dead, you ain't done. I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. He invested in Timothy. When did he pass the baton? When he died. Elijah invested in Elisha. When did he pass the baton? When he went to heaven. When did Jesus pass the baton to his disciples? The Christians don't retire from service. They just get promoted to heaven when they reach end of service. I think of the words of David. It said I should put this in my notes because now I'm spacing on it somewhere in Psalms. Where he fulfilled God's purpose for his life in his own time, and then he died. What a eulogy. But one more thing, SLCD. Sweat, laugh, cry, dream. For the last 12 years, this has been one of the cornerstones of renovation, how we believe that true community is built, or when people are sweating together, accomplishing something together, laughing together, crying together. These are not moments that you necessarily create, but you sure don't run from them when they happen. And then dreaming together. And as I look at this, the way that we engage things here, sweating, accomplishing something together is kind of the gateway into community. And meeting people is great, getting together to discuss theology and life is fun, but serving together is the fast track. And if you find yourself feeling a little disconnected here, you may need to get on a team or two or three, if you're not already serving on 12, some people. I'm reminded of the words of Brother Paul, that when you're good to others, you're always best to yourself. So I'm going to read through a list of immediate needs or opportunities, however you want to look at it, here at Renovation, that we need some help with. And then I would challenge you to, if you're not already serving in 12 other areas, to consider prayerfully which area or areas God may be leading you to join in. Safety, security team, greeters, info desk, kids. The kids department needs help with prep for Sundays during the week. They need help on occasion for special events with babysitting. And we need Sunday room volunteers. We need Sunday room helpers. And especially during the summer, these next 2 months, if you could even do one time and you've never done it before, please, we need help these next 2 months to help get us through. If you believe our kids matter. We need occasional help in the office, doing anything from copies, folding, stapling, etc. Facilities help, whether it's trash, spot cleaning, set up tear down, special event set up and tear down, like for the night of worship where we brought in couches and that sort of thing. Artisan team. So if you've got some skills and you can do things improvements and upgrades and painting or that kind of stuff, we've got a place for you. The worship team, we need instrumentalists and musicians. Our tech team, we need help with sound, video switching, live stream, lyrics, and lighting. The kitchen, we need help organizing and cleaning, and we need someone who can oversee inventory and keep items stocked in there so it's always ready to go. Royal Family Kids Camp, you may have seen the table in the lobby as you came in. We still need some help there, and they've got a list of opportunities and needs on that sign as you leave, and I'd encourage, if you have any time between now and July 2nd and or between the 2nd and the 7th, they've got some things that we can use your help with there. Our youth group, our teens, we need a few adult leaders who can help out there and invest in next generation. Our ministry to veterans, we need connectors, people who will intentionally connect with others in our church family during the week. Make sure no one slips through the cracks, right? We need people in our prayer team, and we need help organizing and leading prayer and worship nights, and we need other. There's a side of us we can't see without your help, and you may have seen other needs that are not even listed here, and encourage you to pencil that in. And as you can see, there's opportunities here for Sundays, throughout the week. Some are skill set based, some are kind of introvert or extrovert inclined. Some are physically demanding, and some could be done laying in bed, and so on. So I would say, if you can, take a closer look by either scanning the QR code or stopping by the info desk on your way out. And if you don't have one, let's find a function. Sound good? It's funny. Everywhere I look, I see so many of our faithful volunteers and servers, and it's like, who do I even look at this morning? I don't know, but you're out there, I believe, or God's going to anoint this message, and people are going to watch it on the internets and be like, hey, I'm in. In three different Gospels, Jesus reminds us that he came not to be served, but to serve. and to give his life as a ransom for many. We read that in Matthew 20, Mark 10, and John 13. And so this morning, as we enter into communion, this is a time not only of personal reflection and remembrance of what God has done for us, but it's also an invitation to follow in his example. The word communion from the Latin means fellowship, mutual participation, a sharing.
Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all. And in just a moment, a song will play, and there will be some questions on the screen. But in light of what we've just discussed, I felt inclined to attempt communion in a little bit of a different way than we normally do. I know there'll be a few in this room. Change makes you uncomfortable, and I'm sorry. You can send me some hate mail after church. But I'm wondering, do we have 8 volunteers in here that might just jump up and be willing to serve communion to the rest of us this morning? If so, step on up, come on down. Awesome. There's a little blessing written on the front of each bucket here. It says, this is the body of Christ that was broken for you. You can hang out up here for a sec. Look, Charles is ready to go, man. He's like, come on, I'm ready to serve. Let's get this thing going. But there's a blessing. Everything in its time, right? So the blessing says, this is the body of Christ that was broken for you and the blood of Christ that was poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. And as these buckets are brought in front of you, your server is going to say these words to you. And in your heart, be thankful, be grateful for what God has done. And then you'll also see a few questions for discussion on the screen. And if you feel comfortable, if there's someone near you and you want to do this, then after you've received the elements and taken them, maybe discuss a question or two on the screen with someone near you. Does that sound all right? Not too scary? On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. The song is going to play, and when it's done, I'll come back up and close this out. Are you guys ready? All right, ready, set, go.